And joining us today on this Ponars Eurasia podcast is Yegor Lazarev, an assistant professor at the University of Toronto. Yegor, thank you so much for joining me for this Ponars Eurasia podcast. Why did you become interested in studying the legal order in Chechnya?
Thank you, Will. I've been conducting fieldwork in the North Caucasus for the past 8 years. So I originally started in Dagestan, did some work in other Muslim-majority regions of Russia, in Ingushetia, in Kabardino-Balkaria. And originally, when I started doing this project, I had different ideas in mind. I wanted to study kind of political Islam and the role of Sufi Islam in the region. And just by being in the field, talking to people, I kind of came across this topic. So I was chatting, for example, with an imam and tried to ask about kind of the politics and interconnection between religion and politics. And I just observed how people brought their disputes that ranged from some like minor issues, I don't know, maybe like divorce or debt, to issue involved like blood feud and murder. And I was just completely fascinated with this situation when there are multiple alternative legal orders that govern one society. And in Dagestan, for example, it's basically this coexistence of Russian state law and Sharia law. And in Chechnya, the situation is even more complex because in addition to Russian state law, Sharia law, there is also a strong system of customary kind of pre-Islamic law known as Adat. And so I was just completely fascinated with the situation and started to explore that. And first I found that, you know, people have strong preference to rely on custom and Sharia, but then I realized that's, you know, not surprising given the long history of resistance to the Russian rule in the region, that culminated in two bloody wars in the post-Soviet period. So ultimately it's not really surprising that people rely on non-state resolution systems based on custom and religion. But then at the same time, I found out that people in the post-war period in Chechnya have been actively relying on state law, and there was a dramatic rise in the number of court cases adjudicated through Russian legal order. And so this kind of made me interested in how do people choose between legal orders and what does government do in terms of regulating them.
To follow up on that, why does Kadyrov, the leader of Chechnya, promote Sharia law there?
So yeah, so this is a kind of a, something I came across in the study that, you know, that the government of Chechnya that is technically in charge of promoting Russian state law have been actively promoting Sharia law and also customary law. For example, the government established Qadi courts, Sharia institution in all districts of Chechnya and supported councils elders in every single village in Chechnya. It also promoted some of the norms embedded in customary law and Sharia, like polygamy, honor killings. So the government, at least in terms of rhetorics, supported these issues. And in my explanation that I'm trying to provide in the book I'm writing is that, first of all, these orders have strong legitimacy. So by promoting customary law and Sharia, the government of Chechnya gains legitimacy. In addition, another big benefit of it is discretion. So when you promote basically three legal orders and you're a stronger actor, you can cherry pick between them and then choose the order that is most beneficial for you in a particular situation. And finally, by promoting this non-state legal orders, the government of Chechnya increases autonomy from the federal center. Because, you know, if you have a region where there are strong norms based on Sharia and customary law, the Kremlin can't just appoint some like random Russian person to govern this region because they have to know a very complex political and legal orders in this region. So I think that's also part of this kind of bargaining game between center and Chechnya, which, you know, I think is one of the central issues of center-periphery relations in Russia, in post-Soviet Russia in general.
Finally, on that point, what are the chances that the Kremlin intervenes in Chechnya to enforce state law or take a greater role?
I think at least at this point, Kremlin is totally happy with kind of almost like imperial indirect rule through Ramzan Kadyrov. He was very effective in the tasks that the Kremlin asked him to do, mostly suppressing insurgency, organizing the governance in an efficient manner. And, you know, Kadyrov did some kind of major reconstruction process. You know, the Republic was completely destroyed after the wars, and now, you know, they rebuild the cities, rebuild the infrastructure, rebuild villages. So there were basically major tasks that the Kremlin cared about, I think, he successfully fulfilled. So, and at this point, there's some tensions about the kind of presence or weakness of Russian state law in the region, but from the signals from the Kremlin at this point, it doesn't seem that they would intervene in any foreseeable future.
Fascinating. Igor, thank you so much for joining me for this podcast.
Thank you, Will.